This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
Localize It.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, so we got the next phase of the life of Justin Verlander.
It's intriguing.
Begins tonight. Astros taking on the Nationals. Justin Verlander going to be on the bump. The Astros not in a good place right now. They've been swept three times through 20 games. They got swept four times all last season. Pitching kind of worn down a little bit, and now you have a future Hall of Famer and a man that was a pivotal piece of a couple of World Series championships coming in. Now, I will ask you this. What's realistic to expect from my man? Because he's 41 years old. You let him go. I thought it was financially responsible. You let him go to the Mets. The thought that it was financially responsible was confirmed by the Mets because you got him back for way cheaper.
Yep.
And now here he is. And because of where the Astros currently are, I almost feel that it's natural to expect this 41-year-old Justin Verlander to come in and just save the day.
Right.
Which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, I don't think he can save the day because the problems are just so much bigger than what Justin Verlander can provide to you. Certainly, if Justin Verlander was still, you know, 2019 Justin Verlander or Justin Verlander 2 years ago, you would feel differently about it. You'd be like, hey, I'm adding an ace to the staff, right? But this current iteration of Justin Verlander, to expect him to come in and be the savior is an unrealistic expectation or an unfair expectation. But I would say this, though. I do think it helps. I think it helps highlight the strategy or lack thereof from the front office and not adding a back end of the rotation starter, because that's what they did at the trade deadline last year by trading for Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander is supposed to be that back of the mid to rotation, back of the rotation guy, and the ones who were supposed to step up and be healthy, obviously, were going to be Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy somewhere in the mix, but you also expected a jump from Hunter Brown. And then, of course, Luis Garcia, all these other guys that you got. Lance McCullers is hurt, but you expected for Justin Verlander to be somewhere in the middle to the back end of that rotation. I've been pretty critical of them for not addressing that, but perhaps that's exactly what Justin Verlander was always supposed to be. We're going to have to recalibrate how we view him and not take it with the, you know, the two Cy Youngs that he's won here and all that kind of thing. Like, it's got to be, no, this is giving us some depth at the back end of the rotation that we actually could really use.
I mean, you look at just the phases. You go back to 17,
yeah.
Dallas Keuchel after the trade deadline, calls out Jeff Luhnow. Disappointment's an understatement. Then the weird ass, and the second trade deadline goes down, yep. The final day of August, and Justin Verlander decides at the last minute to come to Houston. The Astros do what they've never done. They win the World Series. Justin Verlander is one of the saviors. He's one of the faces of the whole thing. And then you knock on the window a couple of times after that. 2019 wins the Cy Young, although maybe Gerrit Cole deserved it, whatever. And then he hangs around, win another World Series. You let him go, and now here he is, 41 years old, and it's welcome, but I also don't know how long you can really expect it because the arm is wild, and we've already seen Justin Verlander maybe not be capable to start the season like maybe he would like. So that's the other thing is how long is this going to last? What's it going to look like? How long is it going to take him to get it going?
Well, I mean, it's going to be extremely disappointing if Justin Verlander can't at least live up to what, let's say, J.P. France is, or what Hunter Brown is, or what, you know, any of the guys on the back end. Obviously, Ronel Blanco has been a pleasant surprise. But what, you know, what these rookies that they've thrown out there, Spencer, Gaddy, guys like that, like he's – you still expect, while it's not glory days Justin Verlander, you still expect for it to be a certain quality that's past that. What's real interesting to me, because you just mentioned it, is just how close it was to not happening both times. Like you talked about how it was the last minute trade in the beginning, and then he actually left. And then the question there is, what if it actually works out for the Mets? Because they didn't just sign Justin Verlander, right? Like they went, they got the richest owner in sports, certainly in baseball. I think the richest owner in sports.
Yeah, but he ain't spending bread no more.
Yeah,
no,
but exactly. Well, this is why. And that's another thing, look, to localize it. Justin Verlander is part of the reason why, because he spent a lot of money on some older pitchers that were ailing and was relying on them to do more than they actually should be called upon to do at this point. Like, I don't think we, whenever we discuss it, probably take enough into account of how taxing it is to have a Cy Young season after you recover from Tommy John.
No, and you know what I mean? Like, it only what that takes means. One setback.
Yeah, I mean, what that means, like, the wear and tear of that is, I feel like, significant, and we're seeing it. But it doesn't mean that he can't be Hunter Brown.
And I'm not bringing this up to buzzkill any Astros fan. I appreciate it. The only reason I bring this up is because I think just the fact that we're even having any discussion, from whether it's best case scenario to worst case scenario to middle scenario to realistic expectations, just the fact that at 41 you're even having this discussion, like there's not a lot of Roger Clemens and there's not a lot of Nolan Ryans. It doesn't typically work that way. So just the fact that we're even talking about, you know, any sort of expectations for Justin Verlander is impressive and something you want to appreciate. I'm just not sure that too many Astros fans want to freaking hear that, because you've been to seven straight ALCSs, and that's probably not, you know, a little feel-good story from some jamoke like me is probably not what you want to partake in at this point.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let me ask you this. As bad as it is 20 games in, is it even fair to have, like, should Justin Verlander be more of a symbol of hope rather than expectation, given how bad it is? Because what are you allowed to expect when you're this bad of a baseball team right
now? You know what Justin Verlander is? Justin Verlander is, and this is pretty sad, but Justin Verlander is almost just a reminder of the past. For me right now, that's what he is, and that's sad.
Yeah, that's fair.
But if he becomes more than that, that's cool. But for me, he is a reminder of the past, and he's a reminder of just gutting it out for the Astros over a seven-year stretch. And whatever it looks like. And I think in moments like this, I don't think being reminded of the past is the worst thing to have, especially with all the warning signs we have that the past is getting pushed further and further back, potentially, with the way this baseball team is built, with the way this baseball team functions, with how many cooks there are in the kitchen. I don't mind being reminded of the past.
No, but I would say, just in terms of the expectation versus the hope, beggars can't be choosers, and we're beggars right now. Like, we're beggars right now at this point.
I feel like you're more desperate for this. Like, you're treating this series like it's do or die.
Well, the series is its own thing, but specifically with Justin Verlander, we're not in a position, given his age and given how bad the team is, we're not in a position, because it's not 2019 Justin Verlander, it's not 2022 Justin Verlander, it's 2024 41-year-old Justin Verlander, and it's the 6-14 Houston Astros that are reeling. We are beggars, not choosers at this point. We'll take what you can give us. It's more hope than expectation. We're not in a position to expect much. That's where we are right now. It's really the same thing that you're saying, more of a symbol of the past. Man, we hope this old guy who used to be great can still be good, because right now we are not. That's how I feel about it.
So right now, like, if you just do the math and you're saying, okay, I want the Astros to win the division, I want them to get in the postseason. I think the least amount of wins last year in the postseason, because the dangerous thing about baseball is a lot of times if you're in a division that's not good, and this division's not bad, it's actually more difficult to be a wild card squad than win the division. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So 89 games, let's get ahead of ourselves here, and let's just look at this big picture. So last year, 89 games got you into the playoffs. I think Toronto won 89 games. Right now, you're 6-14. So that means you would have to go, if that holds up, and the Astros ended up winning 90 and winning the division, and the Rangers won 90 and they got in the playoffs too. But that would mean that you would have to play 21 games above 500 baseball for the remainder of the season. I mean, even if you're looking at the Astros right now, do you feel like this team over the final, whatever, 7/8 of the season can play 23 games over 500 baseball? That's what a slow start does for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rough expectation. Do I think that they have they still have dynamic enough of a lineup to do it? Like, if you go look at the offensive stats, I know we talk about them not coming up big with runners in scoring position and the lack of timely hitting and how frustrating that's been. But if you go look at the numbers, the Astros are right there in the thick of it with the elite baseball teams offensively. It's this dicey situation with the pitching. Could I see the offense at times carrying games for them? Like, we talked about this. Like, it's like they got to score 8 runs to win a game for the most part.
Or have a dude
throw a no-hitter.
You can lose 73 games, so you could lose 63 more games.
Yeah,
in that world, I think. I don't know. I mean, you got to play 20 games over 500 ball.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to.
It's tough, especially based off of what we've seen so far. Like, we've seen runs. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals had one a couple of years ago that was pretty like historic, but it's a lot to ask. It's a whole lot to ask.
Coming up, is it too much to ask to hear from Stephon Diggs and hear about Stephon Diggs from the guys who made the moves? Am I asking for too much? Maybe I am. Let's hear from Nick Caserio, who finally, my goodness, been a damn near a month. He finally spoke on Stephon Diggs, and quite frankly, it led to more questions than answers. Let's hear from him next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.